What's fine on the Bhagavatam is 10th canto? Okay, then hand me the Krishna book. Yes. That's not today's, is it? That's not today's.
Today's automotive.
I already have one.
It all goes into the fire.
Not all.
The automotive question.
Oh, my God, I'm going to miss you. 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 Sweet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tongue is the fifth time they need Sayam Vipakaramayam Nidati Sapandatika Pamsaka Pajibus Chakri Pusanda Vahir Vita Tetara. We finished that section yesterday. That section meaning the part of the bomb. You stepped over the automotive section. This is now it proves you are not ahankar. You are not car. So don't worry about it. No problem. You're okay? Not too wet? Arval. How have you been?
Very well, thank you.
Obviously, you're not in Vrindavan yet. When do you leave?
Close. Next week.
When?
19.
Wonderful.
You'll be there the father soon. How nice.
Where will you spend Radhastami?
Radhastami? I'm not sure yet. Somewhere in that.
Somewhere sweet. How did you get here?
Take me from here.
When Krishna took his birth, as we finished that section yesterday, the last chapter we read was 75. Why Duryodhana felt insulted after the end of the Rajasuya sacrifice? Why did he feel insulted?
Because everybody
was laughing about him. Very insulted. And the envy that was in his heart came out, and very soon after that he launched his plan and plot against the Pandavas and Yudhisthira, and he, through cheating means, had them sent to the forest for 13 years. That is getting near the end of Krishna's Leela, not at the end, but because yet come, Krishna had advented himself to remove the burden of the earth, because he was implored by the demigods to come, because they understood that there was an invasion of the earth planet by the demons. That so many demons had taken their birth, so many asuras had taken their births on earth. They were trying to do a big takeover of the earth and remove righteousness and place themselves in power. And one of the leaders was Kamsa, who had been killed. And previously, in his previous birth, he was Kalanemi, who was a great demon who fought on the side of Bali Maharaj a long time ago. And then the demons lost at that time due to the mercy of the Lord. Or actually, he fought at the time of Vritrasura. And then the demons were annihilated due to the Lord's taking the side of the suras. And therefore, they came up with a new plan. And they came and they took birth on earth. And therefore, there were so many powerful demons who Krishna killed after Kamsa sent them one by one. It was a veritable conspiracy. So the demigods, understanding, because of the earth's prayers, that the earth had been overpopulated with demoniac forces. So she had prayed, gone to the ocean of milk, which is in this universe, where Lord Chiradakshaya Vishnu stays in this universe, and they prayed for an incarnation to come. And there was a voice. Brahma went into meditation, and he understood in his meditation that the Lord will come and that the demigods should take their births, and the counter-revolution will begin. So, we all know the wonderful pastime of how Anaka Dundavi, which means that Vasudeva, he was just married to Devaki, and his name meant, he was called that because when he was at his birth, there were drums that sounded at the time of his birth that proclaimed that the Lord would become his son. So when he was marrying Devaki, Kamsa, out of affection for his own sister, he was driving the chariot. But then there was a voice, an Akashvani, a voice from the sky that said, Kamsa, you are such a fool. Why? Because you are driving the chariot of your sister, but her eighth child will kill you. So you're assisting in your own death by doing this. So that, if anything, is foolish. It's to help those who are going to kill you. That is foolish. So why did who was that voice in the sky? It wasn't Pratik. No. It was the demigods. So why did the demigods tell Kamsa something true like that? And they were very careful. They used the word garba, or parisha. They used the word person. They used garba. The eighth child is going to kill you. And they specifically didn't use the word. They didn't say the eighth son is going to kill you, because even though the eighth child was a son, but when Kamsa came to kill that child, Vasudeva had already taken that child, who was Vasudeva Krishna, across the Jamuna and exchanged him with and he took back Mahamaya rather, who was his worshipable deity. I think that temple is still there with the deity that Kamsa used to worship. Have you ever seen that Dragatini in the Torah?
No.
No, Constantine is something different. But I think that Durga temple is still there. So Vasudev. So why did the demigods do this? Because they wanted to increase Kamsa's sinful activities. Because the more sinful one is, the more one is doomed in one's life, and the quicker one's death comes about. Does this match our experience? Is it always the good people who win and the bad people lose?
It doesn't always look like that.
So what is the meaning of that then? Well, one thing is that in Kali Yuga, everything is somewhat peculiar because it is the age of quarrel, the age of impiety. So it appears very often like the bad people are triumphing, and it will get even worse in Kali Yuga. It appears as if the bad people are triumphing in Kali Yuga. The sinful people, they seem to have all the power, but ultimately they end up killing each other because of their sinful nature and their envious nature. And you can see it when people are very much in the mode of ignorance. They have no life left in their bodies. They get dread diseases and always in complete anxiety. So it's not that they triumph. It's not possible, actually. So in any case, the demigods wanted to increase Kamsa's sinfulness. So although he didn't kill the children of Devaki immediately, even though he was prepared due to Vasudev's pleading with him and arguing with him and agreeing to hand him over all the children one by one. But Kamsa ended up imprisoning Devaki and Vasudev anyway. And there in the prison came about the birth of Krishna, birth of Vasudev Krishna. So at the time of Krishna's birth, the planetary systems were automatically adjusted so that everything became auspicious. Because the planets affect the mood of the people in the world. And when there is auspiciousness, people are very satisfied, and there is less tension, less disturbance, less fighting. So it's not that Krishna exactly appeared under a auspicious influence and therefore Krishna was so auspicious, but the planets lined themselves up perfectly during Krishna's appearance, and the nakshatra was Rohini, the most auspicious under Brahma. So at that time, in all directions, east, west, south, and
north,
everywhere, there was an atmosphere of peace and prosperity. There were auspicious stars visible in the sky. And on the surface, in all towns and villages and pasturing grounds, within the minds of everyone, there were signs of good fortune. The rivers were flowing full of water, and lakes were beautifully decorated with lotus flowers. The forests were full with beautiful birds and peacocks. So when the demonic persons in this world gain power, all these things are lost. The forests are all cut down. the birds are, they don't thrive, the peacocks are driven away, all species, because this is very pleasing. It's not obviously the sound, the chirping of birds and the cooing of the peacocks. This isn't naturally transcendental, but it's very, very auspicious, and people long for the peacefulness and the auspiciousness of simple village and forest life, practically speaking. Because if one is staying in cities or in populated areas, and with the phone towers, the mobile phone towers, and even the electrical currents and Bluetooths and the this and the that, and all the radio waves and the internet, wireless internet, and electrical currents, this is so inauspicious, and it causes so much anxiety. We don't even notice it, practically speaking. But I see this when you have a desktop computer. When you turn it off, you just feel, oh, what a relief! It's over. You don't notice it while it's on, because you're in that atmosphere. But when it's off, what a relief! When you walk into the forest, what a relief when you're in a place where there's just nature. Even though it's not spiritual, but the mind just relaxes, and you can feel some peace and relief like that. So this was when the demonic forces are in charge, everything becomes ruined. The water becomes polluted. The birds, they die. And instead of lotus flowers on the lakes, there's fungus and algae growing, and these lilies. You see that in India a lot. You see these lilies, water lilies. They look very nice, but they suck up all the water, and they propagate themselves and dry up all the ponds. So during Krishna's time, it was not like this. All the birds within the forest began to sing with sweet voices, and the peacocks began to dance along with their consorts. This is peacock dancing season right now. During the rainy season, the peacocks are all dancing. So very, quite wonderful. The wind blew very pleasantly, carrying the aroma of different flowers, and the sensation of bodily touch was pleasing. So the atmosphere was very, very wonderful and auspicious. And the sensation... At home, the brahmanas, who were accustomed to offering sacrifices to the fire, found their homes very pleasant for offering. Due to the disturbances created by the demoniac kings, the sacrificial fire had almost been stopped in the house of brahmanas. But now they could find the opportunity to start the fire peacefully. Being forbidden to offer sacrifices, the brahmins had been very much distressed in mind, intelligence, and activities. But just on the point of Krishna's appearance, automatically their minds became full of joy, because they could hear transcendental vibrations in the sky proclaiming the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The denizens of the Gandhava and Kanara planets began to sing, not rap music. Who invented that kind of thing?
Kali,
he did, didn't he? Mm. He's a rap singer or something. They have that in India too now, yes? Bombay rap music.
Yeah. I still remember when the new rap came, there was one guy called Baba Saigal. Baba Saigal.
In India?
In Mumbai.
Really?
Yeah.
Still? Baba Saigal?
Yeah, Saigal. And he was like,
a rap singer?
A rap singer. First rap singer.
In Hindi or in English?
In Bollywood. That's crazy.
Yes. Kali invented it, because it's so low mode. And they say horrible words and talk about horrible things. And the poor kids, they're fed this into their consciousness. And what is the hope for their lives? So the Gandharvas and Kanara planets, the residents, they began to sing. What did they sing? They sang auspicious, shastric sound vibrations. And the denizens of Siddhaloka and the planets of the Charanas began to offer prayers in the service of the Personality of Godhead. In the heavenly planets, the angels. You ever hear of that motorcycle gang? Narak Apsara? You ever hear of that? They have that in
Australia?
Huh?
In Australia?
Yeah. Hell's Angels. Do they have that in Israel?
No.
No? This is enough problems.
So they don't need new ones.
Those kind. And they, along with the Gandharva, the Vidyadharas and their wives, began to dance. The great sages and demigods, being pleased, began to shower flowers. And at the seashore, there was the sound of mild waves, auspicious and soothing to the mind. And above the sea, there were clouds in the sky, which began to thunder very pleasingly. When things were adjusted like this, Lord Vishnu, who was residing within the heart of every living entity, appeared in the darkness of night as the Supreme Personality of Godhead before Devaki, who appeared as one of the goddesses. Means that she was very effulgent and beautiful. The appearance of Lord Vishnu at that time could be compared to the rising of the full moon over the eastern horizon. The objection may be raised that since Lord Krishna appeared on the eighth day of the waning moon, there could be no rising of the full moon. In answer to this, it may be said that the Lord Krishna appeared in the dynasty, which is in the hierarchy of the moon. Therefore, although the moon was incomplete on that night because of the Lord's appearance in the dynasty, wherein the moon is himself the original person, the moon was in an overjoyous condition, and so by the grace of Krishna, he could appear as the full moon. Vasudev saw that wonderful child born as a baby, with four hands, holding conch shell, club, disc, and padma, lotus, decorated with the mark of Srivats, wearing the jeweled necklace of Kastuba stone, dressed in yellow silk, appearing dazzling like a bright blackish cloud, wearing a helmet bedecked with the Vaidurya stone, valuable bracelets, earrings, and similar other ornaments all over his body, beautified with the abundance of hair on his head. So this is how he appeared. He was transferred. First he appeared in the mind of Vasudev, and then he appeared in the mind of Devaki, and then within her womb. And then when Kamsa saw her, saw Devaki, so effulgent and so beautiful, effulgent, he understood that the Lord was within her body. And he was just waiting in great anxiety until the child would take his birth, so he would kill him. Vasudev, due to the extraordinary features of the child, because this is extraordinary, that a child is born, first of all, forearms, jewels, etc. How could a newly born child be so decorated? He could therefore understand that Lord Krishna had now appeared, and he became overpowered by the occasion. Vasudeva very humbly wondered that although he was an ordinary living entity, conditioned and controlled by material nature, and was externally imprisoned by Kamsa, the all-pervading personality of Godhead Vishnu or Krishna had appeared as a child in his home, exactly in his original position. No earthly child is born with four hands, decorated with ornaments and nice clothing, fully equipped with all the signs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Over and over again, Vasudev glanced at his pile, and he considered how to celebrate this auspicious moment. Generally, he thought, when a male child is born, people observe the occasion with jubilant celebrations. And in my home, although I am imprisoned, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has taken birth. How many millions and millions of times should I be prepared to observe this auspicious ceremony? When Vasudev, who was also called Anaka Dundabi, was looking at his newborn child, he was so happy that he wanted to give many thousands of cows in charity to the Brahmins. According to the Vedic system, whenever there is an auspicious ceremony in the Kshatriya king's palace, out of joy the king gives many things in charity. So it's very, this is quite wonderful, isn't it? That when, and it's so natural, when one is happy, one likes to give and give and give. One loves to give because it's the natural outpouring, overflowing of the heart to give. So at every auspicious occasion, this was a happy occasion, the householders and the Kshatriyas especially, they would give and give and give. They would give cows, they would give wealth, and they were very, very happy to do that. And Krishna himself loved to give charity. And one time, this was years after, when Krishna and Balaram had begun to walk already, and they were growing up in Brajabhumi, in Gokul, one day, these teenage gopis used to watch them, young girls used to watch them, but as soon as they, for one moment, would look the other way, Krishna and Balaram would escape. And they would go away and they would find their friends. And they would go to the Yamuna River and just play there with their friends. So when this happened on this particular occasion, the young girls couldn't find Krishna and Balaram, so they told Mother Yasoda and Rohini, who were cooking, and Yasoda suggested that Rohini go to bring them back. So they wouldn't come. She called out, Krishna, Balaram, come home, come home, come home. Your mother wants you to come home. They wouldn't come. And even if they wanted to come, the other boys who were playing with them wouldn't let them come. They said, if you go home now, because our playing is, we haven't finished, and we're in the middle of a game, and if you go home now and ruin the game, we're not going to play with you anymore. And this is a very heavy threat for a young boy. This is one that everyone uses to this day. I'm not going to play with you anymore if you do this. Uh-oh. So Krishna and Balaram didn't go home. So Mother Rohini went back to Mother Yasoda and said, they won't come. You're going to have to go yourself. So Mother Yasoda, Krishna, Balaram, come home, come home. And then the first thing she said, Nanda Maharaj, he won't take prasadam. She won't eat unless you come home. This is one of the weapons of mothers, especially, makes a boy feel guilty. So, and then Krishna stopped and he listened, and then she kept on talking to him very, very gently. And she said, today is your birthday. It wasn't his birthday. Another trick. Today is your birthday and you have to go home now because it's time for you to give charity. And Krishna loved to give charity. He was very fond of giving charity. So she was appealing to him. She knew just what to say to get him. And she said, and anyway, we have to perform these ceremonies. And she kept on talking, and then when she got close, she grabbed him. And she said, now, are you a street boy? Look at you, you're all dirty now and everything, and your ornaments are all falling off. So now you come. We'll take you home. And it wasn't his birthday, but she performed a big ceremony anyway, and allowed Krishna to give away cows and wealth and charity anyway. anyway, the point being that Krishna, Krishna is very charitably disposed and he loves to give charity. Even from a young age. That means here that Krishna always has a soft and tender heart. There's the saying, in English there's the saying, it is more pleasant to give than to receive. Is there an equivalent saying?
Not in Israel.
Not in Israel. In Hindi, is there something like that?
Jaitanar sada sukhi. Person who gives, he is always sukhi.
But even in the Jewish religion, they're required to give 10% of their income in charity. I mean, that's true. Yes? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Required. So charity is required. This is actually the business of brahmachari is to study. Business of household is charity. Business of manaprastha is to perform austerities. And the business of sannyas is to preach. This is the prime engagements. So, Vasudev wanted to perform a charitable ceremony to celebrate Krishna's appearance. But because he was shackled within the walls of Kamsa's prison, this was not possible. Instead, within his mind, he gave thousands of cows to the Brahmins. And later on, after Kamsa was killed and he was released, he physically, on the physical level, gave away so much charity and honor, in the honor of Krishna's birth. He couldn't do it prior to that. When Vasudeva was convinced that the newborn child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, he bowed down with folded hands and began to offer him prayers. So herein, we're already hearing some of the differences in subtle ways between the relationship of Vasudeva and Devaki also to Krishna and the relationship of Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda to Krishna. Because the residents of Vrindavan, they become aware of Krishna's supreme position, but their love neither increases nor decreases. This is the special characteristic of the residents of Vrindavan. Their love cannot increase or decrease. It is always increased. So the parental affection of Vasudeva was somewhat diminished because he understood that my son is not an ordinary boy, he's God. So he bowed down to him. So that means his own natural affection as a father has to the son was diminished. This cannot happen with Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda Devi. So he bowed down with folded hands and began to offer him prayers. At that time, Vasudeva was in the transcendental position and he became completely free from all fear of Kamsa. The newborn baby was also flashing as effulgence within the room in which he appeared. Vasudeva then began to pray, "My dear Lord, I can understand who you are. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul of all living entities and the Absolute Truth." So what did he say?
I can understand who you are.
And who, what was his understanding?
Supreme Personality.
Yeah. The Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Super Soul within the heart of all living entities, the Absolute Truth, this is you. And you're a person. So hard to understand. So hard to understand. That the Absolute Truth, the Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of course, Supreme Personality of Godhead means person. Because this seeming contradiction of unlimited within a personal form is inconceivable. You have appeared in your own eternal form, which is directly perceived by us. So So how interesting, right there. You have appeared, you've taken birth in an eternal form. So how can an eternal form take birth? I understand that because I'm afraid of Kamsa, you have appeared just to deliver me from that fear. You do not belong to this material world. You are the same person who brings about the cosmic manifestation simply by your glancing over material nature. But yet, you are my son, and you've appeared in a prison, and you've appeared to protect me from fear, but yet all the cosmic manifestation comes from you, and the whole cosmic manifestation is the creation takes place by the potency of your glance. Just see what that means. He doesn't, to make the cosmos, he doesn't have to get a saw. He doesn't know how to use AutoCAD or anything. He doesn't need laser cutting machinery. He doesn't need anything like that. He doesn't need hammers and nails. By his glance, he does it. He makes everything happen just by his glance, by looking at it. And he has it, one of his innumerable potencies is called his Ichha Shakti. That means that his desire becomes reality. So this is wonderful. He's the only one who, this is not a dangerous thing for. Just imagine if we all had that, probably there would be no one left. Just imagine if we had Ichha Shakti. Imagine. And that's what everyone is really lamenting about. that I can't get everything I want. But Krishna has it. But he's the suitable person to have it. Because he has all good qualities. By his glance, the material nature comes about. One may argue, Prabhupada says, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who creates the whole cosmic manifestation simply by his glance, cannot come from the womb of Devaki, the wife of Vasudeva. So that's obvious, because she is created, and how could something that's created cause the creator? How could the thing that's created cause the creator? But to remove this argument, Vasudeva said, my dear Lord, it is not a very wonderful thing that you have appeared from the womb of Devaki, because the creation was also made in that way. You are lying in the causal ocean of Mahavishnu, and by your breathing process, innumerable universes came into existence. Then you entered into each of the universes as Garbhadaksha Vishnu. Then again you expanded yourself as Kiradaksha Vishnu and entered into the hearts of all living entities, and entered even within the atoms. Therefore, your entrance into the womb of Devaki is understandable in the same way. You appear to have entered, but you are simultaneously all-pervading. You are everywhere at the same time. We can understand your entrance and non-entrance from material examples. So Krishna is there, but he's also not there. He says, behold my mystical opulence, my Aishwarya Shakti. So you're in everything and not in everything simultaneously. The total material energy remains intact even after being divided into 16 elements. The material body is nothing but the combination of the five gross elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And whenever there is a material body, it appears that such elements are newly created. But actually, the elements are always existing outside of the body. Similarly, although you have appeared as a child in the womb of Devaki, you are also existing outside. You are always in your abode, but still you can simultaneously expand yourself into millions of forms. This is the inconceivable potency of the Lord. One has to understand your appearance, Vasudev says, with great intelligence, because the material energy is also emanating from you. You are the original source of the material energy, just as the sun is the source of the sunshine. The sunshine cannot cover the sun globe, nor can the material energy, being an emanation from you, cover you. You appear to be in the three modes of material energy, but actually the three modes of material energy cannot cover you. This is understood by the highly intellectual philosophers. In other words, although you appear to be within the material energy, you are never covered by it. Any questions or comments? So why is Vasudeva explaining this? Well, why is it important for us to hear this? Because Krishna is going in his life, first of all, he has a form. And he acts. He performs many pastimes, especially in Vrindavan. He's performing very, very simple, seemingly simple pastimes, such as herding the cows and wandering around without shoes. And he appears to be just like an ordinary boy. And he plays his flute, and he plays with his friends, and his friends sometimes steal his lunch basket, and Krishna cries, and because this is what happens when boys play together, they play rough, and one's always crying, and what do the other boys do when one cries? Of course, they laugh at him. Ah, look at him. And then he gets angry and runs away, and then he comes back, and then they give someone at one of the other boys trouble. They steal his things. So Krishna sometimes would cry. They would steal his things. They would tease him, and because they were friends, they would wrestle with him. So it appears externally, superficially, although Krishna was so special, it appears because he does seemingly ordinary things, although everything he does is extraordinary, that he's just an ordinary person, and that he is controlled by the forces of the material world, just like every ordinary person is controlled by the forces of this material world. But Vasudeva is saying, no, the situation is not like that. Your pastimes, your activities are all very special because you are not doing them from a controlled position. You are the supreme controller. It appears that you're being controlled, but you're in control of everything. So that makes everything you do very special because you're doing it freely because you want to do it, while everyone else, when they act, is doing it out of the force of the modes of material nature. So what is motivating an ordinary boys who are playing in the street to play and tease each other and fight with each other and wrestle with each other? This is the force of the particular stage their body is in. Completely controlled. Completely controlled. Children at a certain age act in a particular way. When they're 2 years old, they open up all the cupboards and they pull everything out and put them on the ground because their bodies work, but they have no intelligence yet. And then at a certain age, they start talking a little bit, and then they start walking, and then they make more friends, and then they, at a certain age, this happens. And it doesn't stop when the children become 13, 14, 15. At 20, you think in a particular way, in a general way. In 30, according to the body we have, we think in a particular way. At 40, you think in a different way. At 50, you think in a different way. At 60, you think in a different way. All these developmental stages are forced upon us. But Krishna is the controller of the elements of the forces. So why does he act the way he does? It's free. So what is motivating Krishna to behave in the way he does? So everything he does is extraordinary and completely different, even though externally, superficially, the same as the activities of an ordinary person, but completely different, completely different. So we see in Krishna's leelas, especially in Vrindavan, when he performs his Nara Leela, his activities of, that are very similar to the activities of a human. But as soon as he performs some Nara Leela, he does some Aishwarya Leela, practically speaking. As soon as he's playing with the cowherd boys, just like an ordinary person, and confusing Brahma, then he expands himself into so many cows and boys, and then they're all being worshipped by everyone in the universe as they display their forearm forms. And then right after that, he's wandering in the forest with his friends, and they're playing tag, they're touching each other, and then and they're arm wrestling with each other, and they're dancing and playing flutes and things like that, and making jokes with each other. And then he and Balaram start thawing Dhanukasura and his friends into trees. And then after that, Krishna goes home, and he's bathed by his mother and everything ordinary. And then the next day he goes out and dances on the, first he's held by Kaliya, and then he's dancing on Kaliya's head. And then right after that, he swallows a forest fire. And then he's playing in the forest again the next day, and by Bandiravan, and they're playing, and one boy is playing like he's the king, and another boy is, and Balaram is playing king, and the ministers, and playing just like boys. And then Palambasura steals Balaram away, and Balaram smashes him and kills this huge demon. And then right after that, there are cows again, and Krishna's cows get lost, and they're all in anxiety, and Krishna's in anxiety, and the boys are in anxiety. Everyone's in anxiety because they're losing their cows, and then they're all surrounded by a forest fire. What's going on? And then Krishna swallows the forest fire. And then they're playing again, and then this and that, and Bakasura and Agasura, and on and on and on. And then playing again. So in the midst of all the ordinary, seemingly ordinary activities, which are the most extraordinary activities, because Krishna, the all-powerful, is acting just like a friend to his friends. Sakyam vicharu krita punja punja. And they're experiencing, they're all experiencing the highest happiness. Tam satam brahma sukhana bhutya. That same absolute truth. Who the yogis are performing their austerities to be with, the coward boys are playing with like an ordinary boy. And they're pushing him, and they make him cry, and they tease him, and he's playing his flute. Sometimes they even make flutes out of leaves. Sometimes they go into caves. Just playing, and then extraordinary activities. So such a wonderful, unique, inconceivable, suitable understanding of God and the Absolute Truth. Vasudeva is praying. So, tomorrow is a big day. Any questions or comments?
Yeah,
nothing can can make it. It's already unlimited, but it's forever increasing. But nothing that Krishna does in one sense makes it increase. When they find out he's God, he does something godly, their love for him doesn't increase, and it doesn't decrease. It's at another level, it's forever increasing. But just looking at it from this point of view, that when they find out his potency, Krishna kills this demon and that demon, he must be some, they'll never say he's God. Actually, they say, oh, it must be because of Nanda Maharaj's austerities, because he's such a good devotee of Lord Narayan, or think maybe Krishna's a demigod or something, or, but they don't care even. They just love him. It's the point being that when the love is so pure, say if there's a friend that we have who we love very, very much, we're so close to the friend, then suddenly we find out that this person has $50 billion, our dear friend, and we find it out. Immediately, our relationship with him will change, or I will change. Immediately, we'll be in complete anxiety. Why? Because we're naturally thinking, how can I get a little bit at least, 1 or 2 million at least, something. But immediately, anxiety in the relationship changes when we find out that person's potency, his position. But the residents of Vrindavan, when they find out Krishna's position, their love for him is so intense that their relationship with him doesn't change at all. They just think he's our friend. Who cares? So powerful. How could he be the Supreme Lord if we don't feed him? He cries. That makes some reason or another. Put it into perspective. So that's what I meant. Any other questions or comments? The boys won't work tomorrow? The boys will work tomorrow. Very good. And you? You'll get off early? What time? You'll figure out somehow. What time have you been getting home lately?
About 4:50 bus, so 5:15. I live at 4:15.
So it takes 1 hour to get back. Has Rasa started cooking already? Maybe a few days ago.
Started last Sunday. Made some sweets.
He's incredible. Dhruv, you will work tomorrow.
Might have some tasks to pack.
It's going to be raining tomorrow, I think. It's not in the evening or tomorrow morning? Tomorrow. Remember in Hong Kong when those days always used to rain on Ramastami? Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Must be rainy season there. Have you talked to any of the devotees in Melbourne? today? Yeah. What are they? What's Koti's responsibility?
Koti Guru is mainly crowd control.
This is being in charge of crowd control in Vrindavan.
There's a saying in Vrindavan that you can measure the success of a festival by the amount of chaos that's created. Devotees will stay up all night with this involved mandate tonight, decorating the temple. Flowers everywhere.
Must be security issues involved as well.
Yeah. It's hot. That'll make it hot to get in from the front. Okay, I'll just...